Hello, and welcome to another episode of At Any Rate. This is Greg Shear, and I'm the head of JP Morgan's base and precious metals strategy team. And today I want to talk to you about our major takeaways from last week's CESCO Copper Conference. CESCO Week is one of the leading copper events globally, which brings together the most important producers and consumers and industry leaders each year in Santiago, Chile. I think this week, or last week, it was especially topical given the about 18% jump in copper prices since the end of February to just around $10,000 per metric ton today. So an extremely timely and topical conference to gather the industry. I think given the price action and given it's a producer-dominated conference, nearly everyone we spoke to last week was structurally bullish copper over the medium term. But similarly, in the near term, there was still a sense that the current copper rally, which really kind of kicked off in the middle of March, may be running ahead of a fundamental story that still could take some time to develop over the coming quarters. Essentially, what we're seeing at the moment is that since late December, there's been an extreme tightening upstream in copper in the copper concentrate market. And that is not an easy problem to fix. That is going to have eventual tightening refined market consequences. But at the moment, the refined market, particularly in China for copper, looks relatively slack. Chinese demand over the last, say, month and a half to 2 months has really stepped back in the face of surging copper prices. We've seen this in very depressed looking premiums, lingering seasonal inventory builds, although we did get a draw this week on the Shanghai Futures Exchange, as well as a closed import arb going into China. So we're not seeing the typical signals that's telling us, or even backwardated curves that is telling us, that the refined copper market is and fundamentally really tight at this moment. And that has people a bit cautious, right? That we could see some of the financial interest that has flown pretty remarkably into the space unwind if we don't see a fundamental tightening coming relatively soon. Similarly, though, there was not a sense that what we're seeing in terms of this step back of buying and purchasing in China is symptomatic of a broader miscalculation on underlying Chinese end use this year. Rather, it just looks like a more temporary pause in purchasing. And we do think demand will eventually acclimatize to a higher price level. And we're still holding a forecast for Chinese demand for copper to grow around 3.5% this year. And so while we're not tight really in the near term, and there's a potential for some volatility in prices or a slight pullback, there is broader acknowledgement here, something that we agree with, that we are now entering a new upwards trend for copper prices. If we look at what this tightening dynamic from the mine supply on down is doing, there is really no easy fix. We would need really an unexpected boost to upstream supply. We don't think that's coming from the mine side. We think Cobre Panama, one of the major contributors to this near-term tightening, is going to be a long ramp up after elections in May, even if progress is made there. Yes, we are seeing some additional scrap volumes flow in and fill the gap. But at the end of the day, we need almost more than 700,000 metric tons of copper units in concentrate or refined. That's our deficit. And that magnitude of scrap to be able to fill that magnitude just looks very unlikely. So on the supply side, yes, it may take a couple more quarters. The smelter drops in China may be a second half 24 story, or even ex-China smelters in 2025 may begin to capitulate. But if we look to be inevitably moving towards a tighter refined market in the offing, and really we would need something like a serious miscalculation on demand growth for this market to not to begin tighten up very quickly and stress what we see as very low global above ground stocks. And I think broader, if we step back even beyond this near-term story that looks like we're going into a pretty decent refined deficit in the very near term this year or next, we are also seeing that progress on filling end-of-decade supply gaps looks nearly non-existent from many of the major Western producers that we spoke to or heard speak at the conference. And time is now really beginning to run very short for them to bring on additional supply. By 2028, we currently see a need for an additional 1.4 million metric tons of new copper mine supply. Last year, new project sanctions amounted to essentially a measly 350,000 metric tons. Given the lead time necessary to even bring on more incremental brownfield capacity, we've seen some recent examples where we're maybe bringing on 140,000 metric tons, but that's still taking something like 3 years to really come to first production. We're really now entering a critical window where time is running out to get these projects going to avoid some serious shortfalls in supply in the next couple of years out to 2030. And I think this was an interesting dynamic because it shifted conversations much more urgently than what we felt before towards more extreme price scenarios about what happens if new copper mine supply doesn't come quick enough. Something that we sensed was in the back of many producers' minds was this potential demand destruction price level, right? In the absence of a stronger supply response over the next couple of years, our view is that copper prices will search higher for a level where enough demand is destroyed in order to rebalance the market. In our current thinking, a price level around $14,000 to $15,000 per metric ton likely begins to stretch the copper to aluminum ratio far enough to incentivize more significant substitution. And this is particularly, I think, focused on Asian grid demand. It also likely accelerates some of the copper intensity thrifting among some of the energy transition demand drivers like electric vehicles, solar, and wind applications. And so from our perspective, what we're seeing in copper is you're seeing sort of a two-track dynamic. In the very near term, we simply don't have enough concentrate supply, and we would really need almost non-existent demand growth for us to get out of this tightening dynamic that we're seeing. And we simply don't think that's the way we're going, right? We think Chinese demand might be slack right now at higher prices, but it will acclimatize. Rest of world, we're seeing encouraging signs with last week US demand being reported as pretty firm, and European demand actually recovering maybe a bit better than expected, albeit with conservative expectations for the first half of 24. And so at the end of the day, this near-term dynamic, low stock coverage, and this long-term supply issue that seems to be coming in into much sharper and more concerning focus, it felt like we were really at the beginnings of an upside cycle for copper, and something that could definitely potentially overshoot our upside targets of around 11,500 over the course of our forecast horizon through 2025. So yeah, in sum, it's a very exciting time for copper. I think there was a lot of discussions around the supply dynamics that look very hard to fix. It looks like we're entering a period of time where price inelasticity of new supply in copper is really hitting a critical juncture. And to us, that really means that commodities prices, copper included, don't stay high for long. They go to a pain point. And that was something that I think was very visceral at the conference last week, is that sort of pain point potential is coming more rapidly into view as we look over the coming couple of years. Well, that's a wrap of this week's Commodities Edition at JPM's At Any Rate podcast. Thank you all for listening, and we look forward to continuing the conversation next week. This communication is provided for information purposes only. Please refer to JP Morgan research reports related to its content for more information, including important disclosures. Copyright 2024, JP Morgan Chase & Company, all rights reserved. This episode was recorded on April 26th, 2024.